pray for the Sanchez family, death of Brother Luke Sanchez, and just remember that family in your prayers, please.
Praise him.
Let's do that right now, if you would, with me. Father, I pray you bless the Sanchez family this morning. Father, I pray you touch hearts. Thy will be done in that family. Lord, even in that funeral, I pray, Lord, you'd work and move. And Lord, just sift things down, and I pray just get real close to them and what's going on in that situation. And Father, I pray your presence, your power there, and your blessing upon them. Lord, I pray for your presence and your power here this morning. Lord, thank you for you showing up and the song singing there, Lord. It's always nice to feel your presence. And I pray you continue this in the preaching hour, Father. Yes. We pray it this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go to the book of Luke this morning, in the 9th chapter. Luke chapter 9. I'm trying to sweep this one aside, but I'm not going to do it because I can't. So here we go. Luke chapter 9. Now Jesus here, he's finishing his work in Galilee. He's in a kind of a transition spot here. He's finishing his work in Galilee. And in verse 51, you see him of the last chapter. I believe you see him steadfastly set his face to go to the way of Golgotha. Yep. Actually, that's in this chapter, verse number 51. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Chapter 9, verse 51. But as he goes in the way here, in verse 57, three individuals come before Christ for our consideration this morning. And in verse 57 through 62, we learn a little bit here about the character of discipleship. I do not believe that everyone that's saved, just because you're saved, does not mean you're a disciple. That's just my belief on it. I think discipleship is more than being saved. It includes being saved, but it's more than that. And we learn a little bit about the character of discipleship. I would say the cost of discipleship and even the caliber of discipleship here in verse 57 through 62. And let's read it here. It says here, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said also, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is what?
Fit
for the kingdom of God. I want to preach on this thought for a little bit this morning. Fickle followers.
Yeah.
Fickle followers. Now, as you read the gospel accounts, you'll find that sometimes Jesus preached and no followers resulted from his preaching. And some people would say, well, he failed. But I would say to you that he did not fail because the hearers still made a decision. Now, in my mind, we used to do street work and we used to stand on the side of Powell and Foster over there. Brother Bill, you're familiar with that. And we would hold breadboard signs out there that say, you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved and stuff like that. And people think that that does no good at all. But in my mind, what I felt like the Lord told me years ago, when you do that, people drive by there in their cars and they look at that and they say, I haven't thought about that in years. I don't want to think about that.
Right.
Maybe I should think about that. Right. But when you occupy till he comes in some manner, whether it's on a mission field or somewhere like that, I believe people are making decisions whether they say anything or whether they're not.
Amen.
I mean, the Bible says the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold and his eyelids try the children of men. And I think every time we sit before a service like this today, we do the same thing inside the church house. We sit before the Word of God, and God, in my mind, has set this thing up so that you cannot not do nothing with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Spirit of God searches our hearts. Now, you can turn it off, amen, you can do whatever you want, but you're still making a decision. I'm trying to say that humanly speaking, there is no hiding from God in this thing. And to do nothing with Him is to make a choice.
Right.
Amen. People try to sit there and say, well, I'm not going to make a choice about Jesus Christ, and therefore I will not be held accountable. No, you are making, Moody used to say, what you going to do with Jesus Christ?
Amen.
What you going to do with Jesus?
Good.
And we all are doing things with Him all the time, aren't we?
Yeah.
We all the time are. So I'm just saying, sometimes Jesus would preach and it seemed like nothing was decided, no decisions were made. But then at other times, when Jesus preached, you would see lots of people come and they desired to be numbered with His disciples. But I noticed that all the ones that came were not of the right kind. Luke here has collected here three instances of three individuals. I say tonight they're typical of many who seem to be true followers of Jesus who nevertheless did not continue with Him. And when you look at their lives, you really can't tell whether they're in or whether they're out. You can't tell whether they're saved or whether they're lost. You can't tell whether they're a friend. You can't tell whether they're a foe. Now, I guess you could say they're fickle followers. They're undecided. They're unstable. They're undependable. Unfaithful. They're not fixed or firmed. Fair weather followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus never refused anybody who came to Him. His own words were this. He said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And if a man or a woman comes to Christ sincerely and truly, I think Jesus always welcomes them in. I can't see one time where He doesn't do that. But I also notice about the Lord Jesus Christ, on the other hand, He didn't just let everybody in indiscriminately. Jesus wasn't the kind to take just anybody so He could build the number of His followers. He was into quality this morning, amen, not quantity. And Jesus knew how to warn the pretentious, and He knew how to accept the penitent. He was always ready for the sincere with an open hand and an open heart. But the self-deceived, or those who professed something that was not really true, He would sift them. He would try their hearts and expose what was on the inside to them and everybody else. I love the fact that you can't hide in this thing.
Amen.
Right. I love that.
Yes. Right.
I was a good hider before I got saved. And then God turns the light on and there ain't no hiding, is there?
No. Right.
And you're not going to hide in this. I'm not going to hide in this. You can say all you want, but if any man love God, the same is
known of Him.
It's known of Him.
That's right.
Without you saying anything. Seems like some people seem to jump into this thing as they would a morning bath. And they quickly jump out and get dried off and they go their way. But my experience has been, if you ever really truly get in, and this is what I'm talking about this morning, if you ever truly get in, you won't want to get out.
Yeah. Amen.
You ain't looking for a way out. Dynamite and the devil couldn't blow you out.
Amen.
You're looking for a way to stay in and figure out how to get farther in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Now let's look at these guys. We can learn some things here from the Lord, how He handled these three men when they came in contact with Christ. The first man. I don't know how many points tonight. If you're going to write it down, just say man number one. I don't even have it alliterated. But the first man in verse 57 through 58, I've already read the account to you, but Matthew's account of this story tells us that this guy was a scribe. We don't get that here, but Matthew says he was a scribe. So this is a religious man. This is a reader of Scripture, a study of Scripture, if you will, this morning. And Lord, look at verse 57, look what he says. And it came to pass as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, first word out of his mouth, he says, Lord. And he says, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, I'm going to hand it to this guy this morning. That's a lot more than a lot of people will ever say.
Yeah.
That's a lot more than a lot of people will ever think. Thousands of people hear Jesus' sermons in our Bible that never said a word, never thought of saying what this man said. That's where most folks are at. Then, now, nothing's changed. You know what most people's response is? No response. But it's a response.
Right, yeah.
Smile. It's a response. And even though this man responded, I can tell by our Lord's reply that he said this without thought. He said this without consideration. Because Jesus isn't saying this for no reason at all. Verse 58, and Jesus says unto him, well, I'm glad that you want to follow me, but foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. Now this man here, I don't know if he's trying to come and follow Christ without considering what belongs to discipleship. But in my mind, he wasn't thinking about those things. That word follow, when he says, I will follow, in verse 57, it's in verse 59, it's in verse 61. This word follow. And it literally means this morning to be in the same way with. And it carries the idea of a disciple. That's why I'm talking about discipleship this morning if you look at that word. And at the beginning of verse 57, it came to pass that as they went in the way, I mean, this is their, Jesus is in the way. He is the way. I mean, and what's one thing I love about the Lord? He doesn't say, that's the way, walk ye in it. He said, I'm the way. He doesn't ask you to go anywhere. He doesn't go. He doesn't ask you to lead. He's in the way. He wants you to get in with him and follow him in the way. And they're in the way. In verse number 57, it came to pass as they went in the way. Are you in the way with him this morning? Amos said, how can two walk together except they be agreed? In my mind, to walk with God is to agree with God. But there are terms to discipleship. There's requirements that are involved if we want to mature in our relationship to the Lord. I understand this morning salvation is free, but it will cost you something to walk with Christ. You say, what's the cost? I'll be real candid with you. It's your life.
It's your life.
That's what he wants.
Yes.
Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except. Except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. You can be saved and abide alone, amen. Never really have a close relationship with God, never have a communion with the Holy Ghost. But if it die, if you'll lose your life, you'll find your life.
Yeah.
If it die, it'll bring forth much fruit.
Yeah.
The cost is your life. Lock, stock, and barrel. Well, I have these dreams. Let them die.
Yeah.
Well, I have these ideas. Let them die.
Yeah.
Well, I thought. Quit thinking. Just follow.
Yeah.
It's your life. He wants your life.
Amen, Brother Brad.
So that the wind can blow where it listeth.
Sure. Yeah.
And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell. I can't tell, Lord, what things are coming from and where they're going. And he said, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. He just wants your life. I was thinking about it in the song service this morning. I was sitting next to my relatives who have been missionaries in Rwanda and missionaries in Tanzania. You don't get there without giving up your life.
That's right.
You ain't going there unless you just give up your life. I was thinking about Lindsay's. I looked up and saw, you don't get to St. Lucia, amen, without just giving up your life.
Yeah.
And you'll never get there until you do. You with me? As sinners, our call is to salvation. But as saints, our call is to self-denial, to suffering. It's to submission. And this man was not ready for the self-denial that is involved. I think what we're seeing today is that Christians that cannot bring the world and their conveniences into the gospel of God are beginning to fashion the gospel of God to the world and their conveniences. Therefore, we're getting this false gospel that's being preached. But divine fellowship places demands upon our lives. Now, I can hear, there's an old sermon Brother Jack preached years ago out of the book of Job. I got a tape on it. And it was titled, "I Will Demand of Thee." And he took Job over there when Job was going through what he went through. And he said, "I will demand of thee." Three times, "I will demand. Stand upon thy loins like a man and gird up thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee." Now, I'm glad God puts demands on our life. You know what? I'd be of no good for nothing if He didn't put demands on our life. If He hadn't come along and put some demands upon my life, I would never be in the way with Him this morning. That's just how I am. I love coaches in my life that put a demand on me. Push it, son. Push it. We're going to run some more lines than every other team runs. I know this thing's not a works, amen, but I'm talking about this idea, amen. What's killing us today is we are eat up with fickle followers.
Yes.
Well, I'm a follower. I know, but you're fickle.
Yeah.
Fickle.
How about that?
I don't think the Lord's trying to discourage this guy. He just wants this guy to know the truth.
Yes.
And he's saying, "Look, I'm glad you come to me, and I know you want to follow me, but you are going to have to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ."
Yes.
You know, I think about, you know, we used to have these parades a lot where I lived, and you would watch the military come by, and I would always, you know, they're hucking candy, and all of a sudden, here comes military band would come by, and these men in the military, and I'm still like a little boy. I love to watch the military marching in parade and their starched uniforms and their shiny badges. And the little boys would stand up. But battle, I've never been in battle, but battle involves destruction, dismemberment, and death. And there's a lot of people that want to march in the parade, but they don't want to pay the price of battle. And Jesus would have no man enlist under false pretenses. He wants you to know there is a battle to be fought against the world, your own flesh, and the devil. That there's a race to be run, and there's going to be trials and tribulations when you are in the way, walking with the Lord, and it's no place for a fickle follower. You watch some of them old time war movies and stuff, and when they would blow that whistle in World War I and they come out of their trenches, brother, I wouldn't want to do it. I mean I'd be scared to death. But they would blow those whistles and they would come out of those trenches with all that stuff going on. And if a guy turned around and ran the other way, the officer, the leader would turn around and he would just shoot him. You know why they did that? Because when you got fickle followers in your rank,
yes,
they will affect everybody else in that around you. You cannot have that. Brothers and sisters, our church, we need to just get rid of this. This is an interesting time we're living in. I don't know nothing. I'm new around here. But I feel in my soul and in my spirit that God is trying to do something in here. Amen. Not that it wasn't being done before. Amen. I understand. But I mean, even in my own heart, in my own soul, it's like He's pulling me closer to Him, saying it's time to get all the way in.
Yes.
I mean, and I know how we are. We think we're in. And then God comes along and reveals things to us. And we're like, if you're like me, I'm like, I'm not in.
Yeah.
I thought I was in, but I'm seeing, Lord, I'm not in like I should be in. Is anybody else like that at all?
Amen.
Then there's a choice to be made right there. Now, I don't know this guy here. We don't know what's going on here. But by looking at Jesus' answer to this guy, perhaps this guy thought he could get some kind of worldly gain in following Jesus. We know the thoughts here that maybe he thought Jesus was going to set up his earthly kingdom, and that by following him, he would gain some place of position and prosperity, of power. But Jesus is on his way to crucifixion, brothers and sisters, not coronation. And a lot of Christians want to follow the Lord through Jerusalem when they're waving the palm branches and they're casting the garments in the way. But only a few of them, amen, continue when they reach the bloody sweat of Gethsemane.
Right, man.
And then when you get to Golgotha, it gets real thin.
Yeah,
real thin.
Yep.
But if you ever want to know the power of His resurrection, you're going to have to be conformable to His death.
Yes.
There's no other way. I wish I could write a book, you know, and make a bunch of money like Joel Osteen and tell you seven steps on how to have the power of God, but there is no other way. There's no other way. You're just going to have to, it's going to cost you your life. You're going to have to die, and you're going to have to just submit all the way. And the more that you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, the more He'll exalt you in due time.
Amen.
There is no other way.
Amen.
And you cannot be a fickle follower.
Right.
Amen. I mean, you can. Now, when this man heard this, I suppose his enthusiasm cooled down. How's yours? Here's the thing. You never hear this guy again. Never hear him again. Verse 58, Jesus says that to him. And look at verse 59. We're on to another. Mm-hmm. Never hear about him again. He was a fickle follower. Let's go to the second guy, verse 59 through 60. Now, the second case is different from the first. This first guy was a volunteer. The first man said, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And then he broke down under preliminary examination.
Yep. Amen.
Right.
And see, there's a lot I can say here, but that's why I still like old-fashioned preaching and teaching.
Amen.
That has a demand on it. I was praying this morning. I'm like, Lord, this word of God is the sword of the
Spirit.
Lord, take the thing today and just run everybody right through the heart. And I still like that. Because
yeah.
I want to be broke down under preliminary amen examination. I want to see where my heart is at. I want to see where my life is at before God. And I like preaching that probes. I like being reproved and rebuked. Now, I like being exhorted to. But I like that reproving that we cannot do away with that. This first guy said, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest. He breaks down under preliminary examination. Now, this second guy, he's different. He had a distinct command from the Lord. Could I say this morning, he's got a call, if you will.
Yeah.
Jesus, look at verse 59. Jesus says, and he said unto another, here it is. He's calling him this time. Follow me. Now, I would say this morning about the call of God. I mean, people have different ideas about the call of God. I think we see a good picture of it here in my mind. But I mean, for years, I think I misunderstood the call of God. I believe the call of God is to Himself.
Amen.
Just like the call of the mountains is to the mountains. You know, I drive out there where we lived in, out there in Oregon, and I would drive to Redmond or Bend, and Brian talked about it not too long ago. I mean, I would look at those mountains over there, and I would look at them long enough, finally, I'm like, I got to go climb that thing. The call of the mountains is to the mountains. The call of the wild is to the wild. Well, the call of God is to Himself.
Yes.
And so many people are waiting for this field or something to be manifested to them. Listen, it's He is calling you to Himself. That's what He wants in my life, and that's what He wants in your life. And you're, nobody here this morning is close as they should be. And if you think that, you're just nuts.
Right. Yeah.
You're deceived. We could all be a lot closer. But I do notice that he does go on to say this to man. Look, there's another part of this. In verse 60, end of verse 60, he says, go thou and preach the kingdom of God. So he says to this guy, he says to him, first, follow me. And then if you'll ever do that, that's why some of you, he hasn't called you to do anything. Because you're not following yet. You with me?
Yeah.
You want a call to a mission field or a call to preach, and he isn't going to do that until you follow him first. That the call of God is unto himself. And if you'll answer that call and just get in here and be faithful and be here and do everything he's asking you to do, then he may come along and say, go thou and preach the kingdom of God. But he ain't going to do that before that. He's not going to do it. He ain't going to give that to a fickle follower. Now, it's a serious thing in my mind to have a command from the Lord like this. I mean, to have Jesus walk right up to you and command or call you right from the heart of God and say, I want you to do this thing right here. Now, to my mind, it's a serious thing to repel that or reject that or even refuse it. Now, I could stay here and say we could talk about that, whether it's salvation this morning. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved. And God is calling on you to come and call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Brother, I would not refuse that and reject that for too long. And it sure has seemed in here for a couple Sundays in a row that God is pulling on sinners to get saved. I can feel it. You can call me crazy all you want, amen, but you can feel it. It may be this morning for sanctification. You may be saved and God is calling on you. He's commanding you, come and follow me. Get in here closer. It may be for some kind of service. But is God calling you today? Have you had a call of God placed upon your life? You see, the second man, he's got a call on his life. And if at any time, brothers and sisters, you hear the Word of God preached, or when you read the Word of God and it comes to you with an unusual power, if it seems to arrest you and lay hold upon you, if it feels like it's difficult to get away, don't try to get away from it. Never trifle with truth, but especially a truth that seems to have a voice to it. Truth that you are compelled to hear, a truth that is more again than a human voice. To that, we ought to give the more earnest heed to that, lest at any time we should let that slip. Now, often men and women of flesh, we can come up with some pretty good excuses, even logical ones that would excuse us from at least. Let us put off what God is calling us to do. Now look at this man with me. Look at this. This man said, look what he says here. Verse number 59. And the Lord said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord. Now look at it with me. He said, suffer. What are those two next little words right there?
Me first.
Yep. Suffer me first. To go and bury my father. Now, it's a good thing, isn't it? I mean, there's nothing wicked in that. In itself, it's a harmless request. And it seems a little harsh what Jesus says here. But notice it doesn't say that his father's already dead. And I got to looking at this because I was like, man, Lord, that's pretty rough. I mean, the guy's dad just died. And I mean, you're saying... So I got to digging around this, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I found that there was an Eastern proverb in the world in the Bible time at this time, and it went like this: when I have buried my father, I will do so and so. So in other words, in my mind, this man was saying, when my parents pass away, then I'll come and I will follow you. Maybe he's saying in my own time and on my own terms. Maybe he didn't want to be gone when the ranch was divided up. He wanted to be there to get his slice of the pie. Now, to a believer, you simply have to be saved, amen, to be... I mean, you can to be a believer, you simply have to be saved. But again, in my mind, to be a disciple, you need to put Christ first. You need to love Him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and your strength. He must be first, before father, before mother, before husband, before wife, before children, even before yourself. That's the hard one, isn't it? We got no problem giving up mom and dad because you don't like listening to them anyway. And you got no problem saying, Lord, I'll give this wife up. Amen. Because you don't, you know, but when it comes, but in the last one, he says, and your own self also. That's the tough one. And this man, this is this man's problem. It says his reply in verse number 59 to Jesus. He said, Lord, suffer me first. Me first. Me first. You cannot have a me-first mentality and follow the master. You just can't be first. Amen. I mean, we have these ideas of what we want in our life. And it's just, Lord, I want it. You ain't going to deal with the me-first. The old-time Christians used to say, if Christ not be first to thee, Christ is nothing to thee. And Jesus is not somebody that you play with when you want. Oh, it's Sunday morning. I'm going to come play with Jesus. supposed to be the object of your life's ambition. We should get to the place in this thing where I want to do whatever He wants, whenever He wants, whenever He asks. And me first has to just go to the wayside. It just, there's no place in it all. That is, if you want to be a follower, a true follower of Jesus Christ, and not just a fickle follower. Notice Jesus says to him in verse 60, "Let the dead bury their dead." Now, I don't think he was suggesting to this man that he doesn't honor his, he's not saying don't honor your parents. This is what I get out of this. He's saying, you know, listen, son, there's people who can bury your father for you. If his dad really died, I don't know. But there's people that can bury your father for you now or if it's in the future. But I have called you to follow me. And this nobody else can do for you but you. He was saying that the burial of your father that can happen, whether it's now or in the future, it's going to be handled by others or can be handled by others. But what I've called you to into a divine service to come follow me. These people can, they don't know nothing about divine life. So let them handle the things of not having a divine life. But I'm calling you to follow me. Amen. So follow me. I'm asking you to come do divine things that most people are never going to know nothing about or never understand. So amen. Even if it costs you to not be there for the burying of your father, follow me.
Amen.
I remember the first, Brandon McKinnon was the one that first helped me go to the mission field. It's funny how, man, a little trip to a foreign field can change your whole perspective. I'd talked about missions and stuff for years, but until I went and did something or just went and looked and see, you know that word go, you there forth, and that just means take a journey. And I remember Brandon McKinney called me up and said, you know, he said, Josh's dad passed away. Josh Stokes, missionary of this church over in Spain. He said he's not going to be able to come home for the funeral. I bet that hurt. I bet that hurt.
Yes.
He just had a lot going on with that work and didn't feel like the... I mean, I believe the Lord, He was like in my heart. I just don't... We called Him up in my heart. I said, I don't know if I can leave. So as far as I know, He didn't come home for that. Brandon McKinnon's a blessing.
Yeah.
He called me up and said, you want to go to Spain? I said, what are you thinking? He said, let's just get on a plane and don't even tell them we're coming. We told Denise we were coming. He said, let's just go over there. And we just went over there, landed, and it was Thursday. We got there on Thursday night and went up there. And Josh opened the door to the church to let everybody in, and he started shaking everybody's hand, and all of a sudden, he goes to the next person, and it was Brandon. He just, what are you doing here? And then the next person, I was behind Brandon. And, let the dead bury the dead.
Yeah.
You need to come and follow me.
Praise the Lord.
You see, you gotta die in a situation like that, don't you? You gotta die. And the Lord's gonna ask you to do some things sometimes, amen, that the rest of the family's gonna get mad at and people are not gonna understand. Am I making any sense this morning?
Yeah,
there are people and problems in life. They're going to try to pull you away from what God has called you to do. And what God wants you to do right now, this morning. And they may even have good and lawful arguments. But to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost is life. And it's life more abundantly. Amen. The Lord gave me and my wife a John 10:10 years ago. I've come to give you life. And life more abundantly. And amen, I'm following Him as the abundant life. Amen. And it's caused us some bumps and bruises with family and friends and even among ourselves. But it's been life and life more abundantly. It's been a heavenly life, a blessed life. And I wouldn't back up for nothing, amen, on the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. He's worthy to be followed and not be fickle in this thing. Amen. And do what He called us to do.
Amen.
Is He calling you this morning to something?
Has he called you to something, but you backed off? Maybe not even on purpose. You've just backed away from it. And now this morning, God's showing you the distance that is coming between you and that call. The right kind of Christian has a total consecration to Christ. Brothers, I'm not going to lower the mark. I'm sorry. I'm not going to. I mean, you know me. The Lord loves us and all these things, amen. But I'm not going to lower the mark. I read the illustration one time. This little boy was standing on a stump of a tree, and he had a little Red Ryder baby gun, you know, and he was cocked that Red Ryder BB gun, and he pointed up, and the moon was out that night, full moon, and he would took a shot at that moon, and he would put it down, and he'd cock it again, and he would pull it up, and he would aim at that moon, you know. And then some Bible college graduate came along, Professor Dr. Doodigler, and come along from... Yeah. Right out of the cemetery, and he looked at that young boy and said, "Boy, what are you doing?" And he said, "I'm trying to shoot that there moon right there." And that guy looked at that moon and looked at that boy and said, "Boy, don't be so stupid, amen. You're never going to hit that moon." And that little boy, his spirit sunk for a minute. All of a sudden, he looked back up into the heavens. He got a little strength, and he looked down, and he popped that red by the BB gun and looked at that guy, and he turned around, and he just went, and he said, "Yeah, but I'm going to get closer than you."
Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory.
I mean, at least if you're shooting for the moon, you're going to land in the stars somewhere.
Yeah. Amen.
We must be ready as Abraham, if need be, to come out from among our kindred and our father's house. Are like Moses to turn our backs on even those that have raised us up. Can I give you this morning again? No more mention of this man and what became of him. But notice, look at chapter 10 and verse number 1. Jesus selects his 70 preachers. See this? After these things. The Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place where he should have come. If that man had been ready. If that man had been ready. There's no telling. But he was a fickle follower. When the moment came, he couldn't rise. The third man. Here's another volunteer. Verse 61, and another also said, "Lord, I will follow thee. But let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house." Notice also his language. "But let me first." Lord, let me do this thing first. Now this man was one of those that thought he... something first had to be done by him before he could follow the Lord. You understand that thought right there? He thought that something, he had to do something first, by had to be done by him before he could follow the Lord. This is a device of the devil that has destroyed many.
Yes, sir.
Listen, I don't care what he's calling you to do this morning. If he's calling you to be saved, you are not going to clean your life up and come get saved.
Right, you're right. Right.
You're out of your mind. You just need to come and get saved. You just need to call upon the name of the Lord. He'll take you the way He is. "Him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out." You don't got to clean your life up to come to Christ. He didn't come and seek and save the righteous. He came and seek and save those which were lost. He came to seek and save sinners. Amen. If you're a sinner, you qualify. Don't clean away your sin and try to come. He won't take you.
Yeah, that's right. That's true.
And it's the same way with some of us in here this morning. Maybe God's put a call on your life to some field or to preach or to do something, and you think, "I can't do that right now because there's some things. Lord, let me first do this." That's not the way it works.
No, it works.
That's a lie of the devil.
Yep.
You come this morning and just surrender and submit to whatever He's asking you to do right now, the way you are. Amen. I'm trying to tell you the truth. This is a dangerous procedure. Amen. There's danger and delay when it comes to things like this. Because the probability is that you go back for a little while, and usually it's a long time before you end up following or doing anything, if ever. The only way to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, is my mind, is to just cut the shoreline altogether by the grace of God and commit all the way.
Right.
Amen. When we were little, we used to go and we had a field that we baled hay in, and we would bale hay, and it gets hot in Iowa. Not as hot as Houston, amen. But it gets hot in Iowa in the middle of the summer. Amen. And you know, it's hot, hot. And you're out there working your tail off and throwing those bales, you know, you had to throw them on the cart, and somebody had to hook it and then stack it. It's just hot, you know. And then every time about lunch, you know, the farmer we were working for, he'd give us a little break and say, "Boys, take about a half hour, and my wife's going to be out here pretty soon with some lunch." So we would take off. There was a creek, amen, at the end of that field, and we would take off for that creek, you know, because it was just hot. I mean, and you could attract us like a deer because, I mean, shirt's coming off. Sorry, it's before I saved him, man. You know, pants coming off. We're going right down to skivvy socks, you know, and shoes. And we would run up right to the end of that water, amen. And I never did just stop and go.
Yeah. No. Amen.
I mean, we were ready to get in that water. We had come to the place in life, if you will, running through that field where I didn't even want to think about it. I didn't even need to pray about it. Yeah. I knew what the will of God was. Yeah. And we come running down there and we would just, whoo! You know, just boom. I mean, just both feet land right in the middle of that river, amen. Yeah. And enjoy the water.
Yeah. Yes. Amen.
That's the only way I know how to get in with God.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. You can't go up there with Him and be like, "I don't know, Lord. Seems a little, I thought it might be a different degree."
Yeah. Yeah, just jumping the deep end.
That's what I'll tell you. I guarantee there's people here this morning. What you need to do is just come right down here and just, I mean, it's fun. Just cannonball it. I mean, Brother Dillon, I wish I had that video, Brother Dillon. I mean, I took Brother Dillon a picture of this guy running down this high board. Just, whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know you want to do it. Just do it.
Amen.
Get off in the deep end. Amen. And swim around out there. Yeah. It's good. It feels fine. Amen. I mean, you're not going to drown. I mean, if you do, just say, "Lord, save me," like Peter. He'll just pick you up a little bit. It'll be
good. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Brother Brad. That's good preaching. Hallelujah.
Or you can just be a fickle follower. Stand back and look at everybody else. And then here's what you'll do. You'll start to criticize everybody else. "Well, them guys, they just don't have nothing else in life. So that's why they're..." You're right, I don't. And your problem is you think you have something else, or you want something else, and you just answer, "I'm not the dumb one." Dummy.
Yeah.
I'm talking about being a fickle follower. This is killing us.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
We think it's, "Well, I need to go to Bible college." No, you just need to quit being a fickle follower.
Amen.
And everything else will take care of itself. All these men, every one of these men in our text, I'm done. There's, as we head towards the invitation here, there's a manifestation of indecision in them. Elijah said, "How long halt you between two opinions?" He said, "If the Lord be God, then follow Him." In each one of these men, there's a manifestation of double-mindedness. James says, "Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord." They're fickle followers. They're undecided, unstable, undependable, unfaithful. They're not fixed or firm. And in my mind, this is when somebody fits into these men's shoes, especially a few of us that have been in this thing for a while, it just shows a lack of appreciation for Christ, for the God of the universe that took time to save us and calls us to follow Him. Shouldn't we take that? Shouldn't we make that our highest honor and our greatest delight in life? And in all these men, there's a great unfitness for the Lord's work. Look at verse 62. Read verse 62. You get down to the bottom there, he said, look at that. He goes, talking about these men, they're not fit for the kingdom of God. I looked up that word fit in verse 62. You know what? It literally means this morning. Jesus is saying that they're just, I cannot well place. That's what it means. I cannot well place a man like this with this kind of mindset in the kingdom of God. You know why? Because in Jesus' mind, he's sitting there saying, I just don't know if they're in or they're out. I just don't know if they're a friend or foe. I'm not even sure if some of them are going to heaven or they're going to hell. And this is why people doubt their salvation. This is why people doubt their sanctification, their service. This is why people say, you know, well, I just don't feel like I fit in this church. Well, it's not this church's fault. Y'all have received me with open arms. So I can tell anybody else who's in here, if you don't fit, amen, it's just simply because you just need to run down here and, I mean, cannonball.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Quit being a fickle follower. Father, I pray this morning, Lord, do that pulling in the heart that only you can do. Lord, there ain't no telling. There's no telling what could happen in here. Lord, I don't even know if the world's ever seen a church, the whole thing, sold out, not fickle, but following. But Lord, I know if this world, if this age could ever use it, it's now. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to draw nigh to you, because I know you say in there, Lord, if we'll draw nigh to you, you'll draw nigh to us. I pray, Lord, for me.
Yes.
I don't want to be a fickle follower, Lord. So I pray, Lord, bless each heart here this morning. Might we submit, surrender to whatever you're calling us to do. Father, I pray it this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's all stand. Take your soul, starting hymn book, and turn to 293. Hymn number 293 in your soul, starting hymn book.
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase as ever. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and a peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Oh, we never can know what the
back in my mind and just thank the Lord that God gave me enough sense to get born again. And then after I got born again, He gave me enough sense along the way with many blunders and falls and mess ups. Amen. I'm thankful that today, with a life that is far from having it all together for sure, but I'm thankful, amen, that I chose the Lord Jesus Christ. I chose the church. Amen. I chose old-time religion. Amen. And God had mercy on me along the way. Gave me a good wife. Amen. A godly pastor with wisdom and some friends. And you know what you find out over in the deep end? You'll find out when you get born again and then you just jump in the deep end, you'll find out it's not a lonely place. There's a whole lot of other people in there too, just swimming around enjoying the goodness of the Lord. I don't know about you this morning, but if you hadn't got born again and you hadn't got in the deep end, you're crazy.
Yeah.
You're crazy. And there's no greater life to live than the life to live for the Lord. Amen. And just going forward for God. Don't look back. Don't look around. Just go forward for the Lord. I'm telling you what He'll do. Man, none of us deserve anything that God does for us. But He sure lets us be a part of some great things in this life. And man, I've seen some things. You've seen some things. We've seen some things together. Now I'm just saying there's really no regrets. There's no regrets. Anybody here have any regrets? Regret serving the Lord? Anybody?
No.
Say, Brother Brian will testify, I regret serving the Lord. Has anybody ever regretted not serving the Lord? Not obeying Him? Not surrendering your all? Not going to a mission field? Not getting saved earlier in life and the Lord began to speak to you? Lots of regrets there. But no regrets getting born again and then following Jesus Christ and getting in the deep end. Amen. Swimming in the river. So get in this morning. Brother Brad said, water's fine. Water's fine. Amen. We'll be back Wednesday night, Lord willing. And unless things turn for the worse, we'll try to spread the news, but Lord willing, Wednesday night. The services are canceled tonight. No services tonight due to the weather that's coming in this afternoon. And no Bible Institute on Tuesday night. And so Lord willing, we'll be back here Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And if that changes, we'll try to put it on Facebook and Twitter, on the church pages there. And then also try to spread the news through text and so on and so forth. So amen. It's good to see you this morning. And I'm glad I came to church. Amen.
Yep.
I'm glad Brother Brad studied and prayed and was loaded this morning. Amen. Thank you, Brother Brad. Amen. Let's pray, be dismissed in prayer. And my Brother Tim Hedeman, if you'll dismiss us this morning.
Father, our ears are thankful for what we heard this morning, Lord.
Mm.
God, we do confess.
Glory.
As I said, Lord, that the Lord goes fine. We're looking to be closer and farther away. And do all we want, do all we need, is the desire of our heart. Thank you for saving us. Lord, speak to those who are not saved and go out of here. God, they didn't realize how we got the best life.
Yes.
They've got nothing of the world.
God bless you. Be safe. You are dismissed.